The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
Which will be rated R today because the FCC is closed. 839, 1360, 97.5 WTAQ News, Talk, Sports. No. Same, mostly family-friendly show. Oh, I know, we have our moments every now and again. It happens. But no, there will be no F-bombs flying in the air. There are other policing entities. The person I work for, the person I'm married to. There are other forces out there that keep the show in line besides the Friendly Candy Company. By the way, that's the nickname we in radio have for the FCC. The Friendly Candy Company. You know what? I have to quick tell this story. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I know what market this was. I'm not going to say anything about where this happened. The FCC, I don't know if this is still their policy, but they used to just show up. I don't even know anymore. And I don't know if it was an inspection or if someone just from the FCC showed up at this station. The receptionist thought he said FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. Out of spite, the manager made him wait like an hour. And then it was someone from the from the FCC. I don't even know how it ended. I don't know what the repercussions, if any, were. I don't know. But, oh, yes, the Friendly Candy Company. Actually, I don't even know what their status is in this shutdown, which, as a listener points out, not really a shutdown. And now everybody's wondering who's going to get blamed and how much and where do we go from here in the Obamacare debate, in the continuing resolution debate, and soon the debt ceiling debate. We'll get to all of that next hour. Senator Ron Johnson, who's getting just a little more than a little tired of being accused of being this pro-Obamacare rhino. By the way, he went toe-to-toe. Went toe-to-toe with the architect, one of the architects of Obamacare yesterday. Well, we didn't plan this, and I didn't reach out, so I guess shame on me. But we are going to talk Obamacare right now, because we're joined on the phone live by 8th District Congressman Reed Ribble. Reed, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jerry.
Hey, thanks for doing my job for me. And calling.
Well, you're welcome.
All right, let's... I already had a listener. Jason, find that email. As long as Reed called, a listener calls you out in an email. Okay, she does a paragraph of ranting, which we'll skip, but she makes some good points in that rant. Then she goes, another question. Reed Ribble said it was embarrassing that the government was shut down. This is what embarrasses him? Not the $1 trillion of debt, not the IRS scandal, the Benghazi scandal, not the welfare state, not continual racism, just because they look bad about the shutdown? Go ahead and respond to that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that's the feeling. All those things are national embarrassment, and I've spoken out about it in dozens of times and opportunities. The $1 trillion deficits are clearly an embarrassment. All of this highlights how dysfunctional this place is and an unwillingness to actually go after the real issues around here. But I don't know how to respond to that.
I wanted to put it out there, and I understand. All right, where do we go from here, Reed? We're in a shutdown right now. It seems, at least the way the media's reporting this, the most important thing is the concern each side has over who's going to get blamed.
Yeah, well, I think there's a certain element of that. Nobody wants to be blamed for things. At the end of the day, if you look at the process here, the House has now voted four different times. Each time we've had a modest compromise position, and each time Senator Reid has said, no, it really got to be my way. We're only going to do it this way. And so the American people will make a determination as to who actually was trying to move toward a compromise solution. The blame, I think there'll be plenty of blame to go around.
Two ways to look at this. One, and the Wall Street Journal had a piece on this yesterday, and I agree. It was clear of the two sides, President Obama was completely unbending. He wouldn't even talk. And any alteration, except the ones he approves of, to Obamacare, any delays except the one he approves of to Obamacare, were non-negotiable. So in terms of which side was more unbending, I think clearly it's the president. But I'll play devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
And I suppose someone could say, well, you guys should have known that.
Well, we did know that, and I spoke out about it, and you and I have spoken about it. Harry Reid and the Senate and the president have already said that they're not going to do anything regarding the Affordable Care Act. They're just not going to do it. And we decided that they don't really get to tell the House of Representatives what they're going to do or not as far as policy goes. And so we continue to work to find a way forward on funding the government fully, which we did each and every time. We funded the government fully other than the Affordable Care Act's implementation and partial implementation. But this is pretty much where I anticipated ending in this scenario, because there are not the votes in the Senate to pass what the House wants.
So then where do we go from here? How does this play out?
This is the dilemma, and it's going to be dependent, really, quite frankly, on how much people dig in their heels and whether the Speaker now has been offended by Harry Reid's rhetoric. And we ought to be able to move forward. This afternoon there'll be a conference meeting where House Republicans will get together and talk about what some of those next steps are. I'm not exactly sure what they are. You know, in a true democratic process, if the Speaker brought another compromise position, it's likely to pass. You know, I think at this point in the House, pretty much everything, even up to and including a clean CR for a short time to kind of bridge the negotiations, would pass.
Which to me seems the most likely scenario, because
yeah, I would agree.
They're just not going to bend. I mean, they're not going to let you tweak it in any way, shape, or form.
Right. And so then you might take a look at some other possible things that you could put into the negotiation that are things that are good for the economy. For example, advancing Keystone Pipeline, maybe having a change in some of the regulatory regime that's going on over at the EPA. There are things that we could do to help actually grow the economy with this debate that are not related to the president's signature health care bill, which he's not going to touch. And he's been relatively clear about this. Even if we could have got the Senate to pass it, he said he would veto it. So there may be some other things that we can try here. And most likely, though, I think you've characterized it correctly, that there will be some type of short-term stopgap so that we can find the next step forward. And in a week or two, we're coming up to the nation's debt limit, and so there'll be another discussion here.
Yeah, that's the thing. You've got, if this was a cliff, you've got another one coming in a very short period of time.
A much bigger one, by the way.
And that's exactly what I was going to ask you. This is really small potatoes compared to that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's troubling because the government ought to be able to function, you know. But when you're putting the nation's credit rating at risk, that creates a different dilemma, a much bigger global dilemma. And so we'll have to wait and see where that all starts to come together. I've been encouraging our leadership to stop kicking the can down the road and finally deal with the real drivers of our fiscal problems going forward, which would be our entitlements.
I wasn't a fan of the shutdown strategy, but the one thing might come out of this is we talk with Congressman Reid Ribble. We may find out which do Americans oppose or fear more, a shutdown or Obamacare?
Yeah, I think it's a mixed bag depending on where you are in the country. I've spoken quite a bit about how gerrymandered districts have become around the country, and the bluer those districts are, the more you're likely to really hold on tightly to the Affordable Care Act, and the redder the districts are, the more you want to get rid of it in every iteration of it. And so the American people, in their broad strokes, So it's a mixed bag, and everybody knows that, and all the polling shows it.
One of the things, though, you know, as you know, this war, in a sense, has been fought on two fronts. Unfortunately, most of the battle has been Republican against Republican, which has really been unfortunate. I think one of the things we have to get past, you know, I haven't agreed with you on everything, and I don't agree with Ron Johnson on everything, but I never believe for a minute.
Hey, Jerry, I don't agree with my wife on everything, and we've been married for 38 years.
Amen, brother. Amen. But that analogy is actually a good one. Look, the email that I get about both of you drives me crazy. Neither one of you has suddenly become this pro-Obamacare rhino.
Yeah.
And I mean, how do you deal? We got to get past that. We really do.
Yeah. I mean, for the good of the conservative movement, we have to. And in many respects, we say, you know, Harry Reid has taken it's my way or the highway. And in some ways, conservatives have done the exact same thing, but for different reasons. You know, people felt for a while that Marco Rubio was going to be the champion of the right, and then he got crossways with folks on immigration, so he didn't hit the purity test there, you know.
Yeah.
And you're going to have the same thing with every single one, because no one's going to be absolutely perfect, and no one can be. With 300 million Americans in this country, they all have a little different viewpoint, and they see life through a lens of their history, background, work environment, family, and they're going to have different opinions.
You know, the problem with the infighting, Reid, is people forgot the ultimate strategy with the shutdown is there was a handful of blue dog senators that you thought you might be able to pick off. They now have gotten a complete pass.
Well, sure, because Harry Reid's not even brought things to a vote, so they haven't even had to make a decision on these things.
Yeah.
And he's protected them from them, and their rules over there allow that, and the fact that they have a dominant controlling party over there with the Democrats in charge, it never was going to work, which is the point that both Senator Johnson and I have been trying to make.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I am reminded of the 1970 movie The Candidate, where Robert Redford is a surprise winner in a Senate seat, sits on the bed of his hotel room and says, now what?
Yeah.
Because he never thought he was going to win. In this case, I hate to say it, but Axelrod was kind of right. Republicans are the dog that caught the car to some degree on this, because, and that was my complaint about this, there was no, okay, once we're in it, what's the strategy?
Yeah, and I've spoken about it, and with many of our colleagues on the right, that was always the ultimate question that needed to be asked, is, okay, then what? You know, there has to be a then what. The government's not going to stay shut down forever. There's got to be a then what. And it's still my contention that the Affordable Care Act is going to have lots and lots of problems. Prices are not going to be what we've been led to believe. And so the American people will then make a determination in 2014 and beyond on how to fix that.
The way I saw it, and I spoke about this on the air, and I wrote about it in various venues, is I think the only club left in the bag right now is to really, really, really pound on the fact of all of the exemptions that exist for this, including the convoluted one of the congressional level, how much they and their friends didn't want this. I think it's the only thing you got left.
Yeah, and when we talked about the exemption, we actually voted to repeal the exemption yesterday, and we included the White House, by the way, with that vote. But of course, there was never a vote on it in the Senate,
Another thing that seems almost suicidal on the Democrats' part, and I ask this sincerely because I don't have an answer, Reid. They won't even bend on the medical device tax that everybody seems to hate.
Yeah, correct. We were actually surprised. That was a pretty decent compromise position from our standpoint, and we thought that minimally they would accept that. You know, we actually expected them to strip out the delay of the individual mandate and retain the medical device tax, because they support getting rid of the medical device tax. I think they were concerned that it would actually highlight how costly that tax is. And it's really costly here in Wisconsin, because we're a large manufacturer of medical devices here.
Yeah, and in fact, their mantra is always shipping jobs overseas. This will do just that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's already doing it.
Yes, it is.
It's already doing it. And so everybody can see it. Both Republicans and Democrats can see it. But the president is blinded by this law, and he's not going to touch it at all. And he's been very clear in that. And so I think even if the Senate had sent that over, it would have been dead on arrival at the White House.
All right. We'll be talking about this for some time.
I wanted to give you an update. Thanks, Jerry, for having me on.
Hey, Congressman Reed Ribble, really appreciate you checking in and calling. It's 8:54, so I had a pretty good segment planned for 8:30 to 9, but I'm really, really glad that Reed called. We are going to be talking with Senator Ron Johnson after 9 and get his take on this. I don't want to spend the whole show on this, but we'll talk to Ron, and I'll have some thoughts as well. But what I want to do after 9, I want to look back, and I did a little research last night, on some of the previous government shutdowns and some of the Democratic revisionist history that's going on right now. I do want to quickly mention two things that I was going to talk quite a bit about in this segment. I was at a wrap-up meeting last night for Restaurant Week in Green Bay. Jason, it was huge. It was bigger than they ever would have imagined. 18,000 meals sold, total economic impact on the area, $583,000. So very, very big. Next year is set for July 10th through the 17th, and it was a big success. And this, I received a letter in the mail yesterday from State Senator Mike Ellis. I want to read this. Dear Jerry, I want to thank you for your recent piece about the Planned Parenthood ad that is currently running in Green Bay. It's that shameful one. I'm sure you've seen it. That's me talking. Back to him. I appreciate your calling out Planned Parenthood for only showing 5 seconds of a longer debate while ignoring the Planned Parenthood-sponsored senators who are out of order, shouting, standing, and being disruptive in violation of Senate rules and proper civil decorum. Unfortunately, the agreement between Wisconsin Eye and the legislature prohibited Wisconsin Eye from showing that footage in this instance. So again, thank you. Although we don't always agree on everything, I'm glad that you recognize the games that Planned Parenthood is playing with this ad and are calling them out for it. Sincerely, Mike Ellis, State Senator. Mike, glad to do it. Now, also, I defended Mike, and I'm going to have more on this later in the show today. I defended Mike in a piece that ran on Right Wisconsin concerning the Menominee Casino. He and I agree on that. Mike, if you like this, in the near future, I might have something you're going to love. And that's all I've got to say about that for now. All right, we do talk to Senator Johnson in 8 minutes. It's 8:56.